All right, practicing away from your instrument. This is something that I'm really passionate about because it helps us make use of those times where A, we either can't get to our instrument, or B, we can't make noise. If you play an instrument that makes noise. Some of you play an instrument that you can plug in and you can actually just kind of listen to it through speakers or through headphones. But like me, if I'm playing my acoustic drums, everyone can hear them. And not only the people in my house, people outside of my house can hear them, and that creates problems for times of day that I'm able to practice those sorts of things. So I've had to find a lot of ways over the years to supplement that time. Something else that this will help with is this will help you in those music-related activities, because remember several of the studies that I've mentioned, several of the books that I've mentioned, they talk about how the elite in any field spend just as much time doing event-related activities. So whatever event they're training for, whatever skill they're training for, they do activities related to that. Maybe not, you know, specifically practicing a pattern on the keyboard or on your horn or on your, you know, guitar or the drums or whatever, but maybe practicing material that will help and aid you when you are able to get back actively on your instrument. This can be some really beneficial practicing. So the first one I want to talk about, some of you understand it, some of you don't understand it. And if you do understand it, go on to the next one. There's a lot of information in this bonus series, or mini series. So let's talk about critical listening. What is it? There's listening for enjoyment, which is what many of us do all the time. And then there's critical listening, which is listening, developing your ear to interpret what is going on in the music on a bigger picture. Now, I didn't understand how to do this until I hit college, and they teach you this in music school. I had a music history teacher who was fantastic that helped. You had ear training, and you had sightseeing and all these things, but this music history teacher, who I didn't expect me to teach me how to do this, was the one that wound up teaching me how to critically listen. I went to him for three semesters, I don't remember. It seemed like, I remember looking at it and looking at the book and the CDs that came out. I'm like, oh my gosh, this class is going to take forever. And I was not looking forward to it. I got in there, and hands down, it was one of my favorite classes in college because of the guy teaching it. His dad had raised him, and his dad was like some of us are about rock music, his dad was about classical music. Like, roll the window down, hang your head out, blare it as loud as you can, sing it, you know, like he was passionate about it. So this kind of carried down to his son who taught music history. And so he taught me to listen to what was going on in the music that was unrelated or seemingly unrelated to what I was doing. By doing that, he helped me understand compositions and how they come together and why lines sound good against other things, those type of things. So he would give us, you know, there would be a piece that we would be studying, and he would be running across the front of the, do you hear what the violins are playing? And he'd grab a violin and he'd play it, you know, do you hear what the piano's playing? He'd grab the piano and he'd start playing it. And he was just so passionate that we heard what was going on in the music. So how do we do this, okay? Well, what I want you to do is I want you to pick a song that you like, one that you're not going to get tired of, one that is a little bit more complex. So let's not pick, you know, a Katy Perry song or something. Let's pick one that is musically complex, not way beyond your skill set of being able to understand, but something that's kind of in your ballpark. And once you pick that, then I want you to sit down because we are going to listen to this song a lot and certain sections of it a whole lot more. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to listen, sit down, quiet the room, put your headphones on, whatever you got to do, and then I want you to listen to the song as a whole. Don't listen to any particular instrument or any particular melody. Somewhat zone out and hear what the artist is wanting to happen. If it's got lyrics, don't listen to the lyrics. Just hear the song as something that is happening, as an activity, and hear it as a whole, almost as if you would listen to an orchestra. So listen to it as a whole unit, okay? That's your first listen. Now, after you get done with that, then I want you to pick one instrument, okay? I want you to pick one instrument. And what you're going to do is we're going to listen through to that instrument. The instrument I would pick first is the one that has the melody. Okay, so let's focus on the melody at this point. The guitar has the melody, pick that. If the vocals have a melody, pick that. Okay, vocals, if you got lyrics, there's a melody. They're carrying that melody. Now what I want you to do is I want you to quietly listen to the melody. I want you to listen through the verse and hear that melody. Then maybe pause it and sing the melody. Sing the different notes until you can sing it exactly as it's being played. Then I want you to listen to the chorus, listen to the melody, listen to the bridge, listen to the melody that's going through each section of the music. Stop the music. Sing, hum these sounds. If you don't get it right, try to get their inflection. Try to go as deep as you can with understanding the melody of this song and what it means. This reminds me of, I had played for years the song Girl from Ipanema, and I played in college. We got a group together that was a Latin group, for sake of the better word. It was a Spanish group. So anyone that spoke Spanish. Now, this could be people from Spain. This could be people from the hills of, Guatemala, whatever they, wherever they spoke Spanish, we had them. We had people from Mexico, Puerto Rico, Costa Rica. We had all types of people in this group. So I was replicating a lot of different styles in this group. And all young, and we were having a good time. Well, we played The Girl from Ipanema, and I thought, well, this is going to be, simple. We just pulled it down as a standard. I never understood that song until someone from that region sang it, and I listened to the inflection in her voice, and I watched how she moved while she sang it while I'm sitting back there playing the drums. And that song is sexy, man. Not because she was sexy by any means. That song, the lyrics, it's a sexy song, but I never knew that because I'd never listened to it. I'd never really heard what was going on. If we listen to it, if it has lyrics, figure out what the lyrics are saying. What is this song about? Okay, and you're like, Stephen, I just stay with me. This is going to help you view music on a deeper level. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to pick one other instrument that is not the melodic instrument, okay? I want you to pick maybe the bass. And you're going to listen to it one time through, and you're just going to listen to what the bass is doing. What is the bass? What are the notes he's playing? And then maybe go back and hum the notes that the bass is playing throughout the verse. See if you can hum his part. Memorize that part. Go to the chorus. Do the same thing. You're trying to learn the bass part. If you're adept at piano, or if you play, when you get to your instrument, maybe even play that part so you can see where it lies within the chord structure. Okay. After we've done that with one instrument, we're going to move methodically through each instrument. Okay. Go on to the guitar. Go on to the drums. If you're a horn player, go on to the horns if there's horns in there. Each individual instrument you're going to listen through. Now, after you've listened through all of these instruments and you've kind of hummed their parts and you're hearing how things are going, then you want to listen back through and you want to pick the bass, just for instance. But we want to see how the bass part is interacting with everything else. So how does the bass part interact with the melody? How does it interact with the lyrics? How does the bass part interact with the drums? Are the kick and the bass hitting together? Are they hitting separate? What type of feel is this? You're trying to feel, if there's a chord being, or not if, when the chord's being played, is the bass playing the root of that chord, or are they playing an extension? What does that do to the music? How does it color the chord? I want you to go as deep as you can into understanding the music. Now, liken this to a basketball player that studies one of his favorite players. He's not just going to study that player, like watch a game, be like, well, that was a good game. He's going to get in close. Like, he's going to get up close to the screen. He's going to look as close as he can. He's going to rewind and fast forward and slow-mo. And he's really going to, what's he doing with his foot there? Okay, what's he do? That's what I want you to do with these songs. Do this with each instrument. Pair it up with different instruments. Then I want you to listen to the chord structure. And you can do this. You don't have to do these in any certain order. It's just that we're going through. If you want to, make yourself a listening assembly line. I'm going to do this, this, this. Then every song you listen to, you can go through your checklist. Okay, I've done all that. Made sure you've listened to it as intently as possible. Listen to the chord changes. Listen to how each voice is reacting within the chord. Who's outlining the actual chord? Who's playing the support role in outlining the roots of the chord? Who's playing the coloring role in that they're playing the extensions and they're coloring that chord? Because a chord can be played as a bass chord, but then you can, not as in bass guitar, but just like bass level chord, but then you can color that chord with extensions. Who's doing that? Find out, what is the drummer doing? What type of rhythms is he playing, or she playing? What does that do to the music? What type of feel? What time signature? You're wanting to find out as much about this song as you can. Act like you're a cold case detective. Like, you have to figure out what is going on in this song that makes it tick. Okay, and then and only then can you figure out what makes a song tick and what makes a song work. And after you've listened to all those different parts, then go back and listen to it as a whole. And you'll have a whole new appreciation for what's going on. Now, this gets really interesting whenever you do like big bands or you do orchestras, because there's so many moving parts. I never really appreciated an orchestra until I played a Pops concert. I was kind of the, in my area, I was the go-to guy for any orchestral things that needed a drum set player. I was good with working with conductors and piano players that were playing, and I played a lot of pop music, so I was good. So, you know, all the cities around, they would call me to do that stuff. And the first time I ever sat in the middle of an orchestra, because you would sit in the middle, I would sit right in front of the conductor. And the first time I did that, I got a full understanding of what was going on, what the composer was trying to do, because I heard it coming like surround sound. It was behind me, it was beside me, it was in front of me, I just sat there going, holy cow, like, listen to what they're doing, it was so much going on. I want you to be enamored by one song. I want it to take you that deep. This could take you a week. It may not happen in one seating. And that's okay. I know artists that have taken themselves through someone's whole discography, and they go song by song, and by doing that, they figure out, cool, he played that line here, but he also plays it here, and it's the same line, but he juxtaposes it differently. So they're able to begin to find some things that they can use and utilize. That's critical listening, and that's what I want you to do away from your instrument. If we do it with the instrument, then we want to play along to the song. So take away that temptation to play along to the song and simply use your ears. Close your eyes, put out as many senses as you can, you know, snuff out as many senses as you can so that you can really hear what's going on. Now, the other thing you can do in the listening section of things away from your instrument is what I call stylistic listening. So whenever I needed to learn a new style, or I needed to play a new style, or I was trying to dive into this new style, I mentioned earlier in this course, I became a jazz studies major because I didn't have to be in marching band. And that for me was a bonus. I didn't want to be in marching band. But my major ensemble was jazz, or the jazz big band. And the problem was I didn't like jazz. So I was becoming a jazz studies major because it gave me more time on the drum set. The drum set's a relatively new instrument, so many colleges and universities don't have it as an option to major in. You can major in percussion, but not drum set. I wanted to major in drum set. That's what I wanted to do. I'm glad I got to major in percussion looking back now. But at the time, that's what I wanted to do. And so one day I remember I was driving and I thought, you know, like, I don't like jazz. But there are guys that have slept in cardboard boxes to play this style of music. So the least I can do is appreciate it. So I said, okay, for 1 year, I will listen to nothing but jazz. That's all I'm going to listen to. If I'm in the car, if I'm working out, it's just going to be jazz. Changed my life. I love jazz. I'll listen to it, and at the drop of a hat, I'll put it on while I'm working. I love jazz. After that year, but it took me of that year of ingesting that style. Now, here's another thing. I couldn't swing whenever I became a jazz studies major, and that's a problem, because that's what jazz is, right? I couldn't swing. I couldn't make people move to my swing, and so listening to this music helped me ingest that style, and my swing began to come better just by listening to it, okay? Have you ever been in a region for a little while and you take on a certain dialect? So whenever I go back down south, if I'm down there for a few days, I'm in Nashville, so I'm still south, but if I go further south with, like, you know, our relatives and family, I start to get this real southern drawl, man, and I start talking. My kids get it, and I'm like, what is, you know, I pay attention to those things, and I'm like, this is amazing. We haven't done anything different to my kids who have been raised in kind of middle America, the middle of America, not necessarily real south and not real north. And yet they can pick up an accent in a week of what's going on. See, we mimic what's going on. And so if you will mimic the music that you're hearing, you're automatically going to begin to ingest that feel. You become like those things that you surround yourself with. Okay, and so if you surround yourself with music that's metal and you're trying to play jazz, you're going to sound like a metal drummer playing jazz. But if you will listen, it doesn't have to be all you listen to. But if you will listen to the style of music, you'll ingest it quicker. One more story. When I was in New Orleans, second line's a big thing down there. You know, that New Orleans in the cracks feel. I couldn't play it to save my life. And I remember sitting at the drum set for hours. just trying to get just trying to get that. And it didn't happen until I stopped trying and I started listening. I started going out and watching the carnival and watching the parades and seeing the street bands and going to the local joints and watching how the brass bands moved and how the people moved to the music and how the horn players played and how that. And all of a sudden, after a year of not touching the style, I sat down and immediately sounded like I was from the area. I assimilated that into myself just by hearing it. Okay? So it's very important that you listen to these, not only critically, but you also listen just to ingest that style. If I have a big band gig coming up, guess what's going to be in my CD? It's going to be not CD player. That's what I'm going to be putting on my playlist. It's going to be swing stuff. It's going to be big band stuff. Okay? I used to have a 6-disc changer in the back of my car. That was great because on long trips onto gigs, I would put 6 discs of whatever style I was going to play or whatever I needed to learn. And I didn't want to stop. So those would just keep playing over and over. So whatever you need to do to make that happen. But these are things that you can do away from your instrument. As a matter of fact, I suggest you do them away from your instrument. All right? So in lesson 2, on this, we're going to be talking about transcription and ghost practice, okay? And so if you'll jump over to the second lesson in this mini-series, we'll start talking about that as well. Leave a comment here on this page. Give me your thoughts about critical listening. Maybe you've done it before. Maybe you've never done it. And put that in the comment section, then jump over to the next lesson.